Welcome to Base Camp for Men. I'm your host, Tony Rizak. This is a show that gives you insights and resources on how to live a more courageous life. We'll be looking at men, the current state of masculinity, and how to create a more inspiring narrative for all men. Welcome, and let's get started. Hello, Base Campers. Hope you're all doing well. Today, we have some memes and then another conversation with a Bitcoiner, a woman this time, which is something that I've been wanting to tap into, the female Bitcoiner's perspective. Why am I including so many recent episodes the past two seasons about Bitcoin? Well, I believe it is a technological innovation that will lead to a radically different and far more positive future than anyone can envision within the current corrupt fiat system, which is being debased as we speak, as in your purchasing power of your money is worth less and less each week, each month, each year. I recently heard Lawrence Leopard, a well-known thought leader and advocate of sound money, talking on a podcast, and he likened Bitcoin to the early days of computing before the advent of the internet. He shares a story that he was talking to Steve Ballmer way back in the 1980s, and Steve was super excited about how huge Microsoft and personal computing was going to be, that everyone in the future would have a computer. Lawrence said he sounded absolutely crazy because it was so early, and he goes on to say he sees the exact same dynamic right now with Bitcoin. Why am I sharing these conversations and thoughts on this innovation? Well, because I want you base campers to benefit. If even 10 or 20 of you learn to buy, hold, and self-custody your Bitcoin, then these episodes were worth the time and effort, knowing that you and your family will greatly benefit. I will include the great episode I listened to with Larry at the end, talking about all this stuff. I think it's worth the time. And I will continue to have some Bitcoin episodes here and there, but we will spread them out as best we can. I know there's other juicy topics you're interested in, and we're in a crazy election year with lots of moving parts and uncertainty in the air. For me, Bitcoin acts as an important life raft to sail what will certainly be stormy seas that is our foreseeable future. Okay, before we get to the interview, I've got three quick memes for you. The first one is from Dr. Jeff Ross, a famous hedge fund manager. He says, quote, "It's 2024. If you still think Bitcoin is a scam, then frankly, you're just plain stupid," unquote. And one from the humble Bitcoiner who says, quote, "When you own Bitcoin, you're shorting central banks, saving your monetary energy, taking power back from the elite, and rioting against corrupt government," unquote. Oh-ho. And my favorite one, this is from Laser. He says, quote, "Bitcoin is the first technology that allows the entire world to join the ruling class in opting out of the plans the ruling class has for the entire world," unquote. Well said, Laser. I love it. Let's go sit around the fire with a new guest, a woman who, like myself, is passionate about Bitcoin and what it means for the future of humanity and the future of developing nations. Enjoy the interview. Today's episode is brought to you by Stand Up Now Apparel. Stand Up Now has amazing designs centered on God, family, freedom, and patriotism. They use only the softest cotton in their designs and have gear for the whole family. There's something for everyone, base campers. I know you're going to love their products. Go support them at www.standupnowapparel.com and use the code BASECAMP to receive a 10% discount and free shipping. And now, on to our interview. My guest today is Dahlia Platt. Dahlia is a Bitcoin International curriculum developer, a financial literacy educator, and a Bitcoin custody advisor with the Bitcoin Advisors. Here is my interview with Dahlia Platt. Okay, I am here with Dahlia Platt, Bitcoiner, Colombian, early adopter, and thought leader. Dahlia Platt. Dahlia, welcome to Base Camp for Men. It is great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Tony. Thank you for having me here. And I'm very honored to be.
Yeah.
I don't know if people know what you do prior to the episode, but you calmed me and you grounded me. So I'm already very thankful to you.
Oh, blessings to you. I came across your name when I interviewed your colleague, Daz B., just a couple weeks ago, and I said, hey, can you give me an introduction to Dahlia? I was really looking forward to chatting with you for a number of reasons. You're from Colombia. You're a Bitcoiner. It seems like everybody I got on the show to talk about Bitcoin was a dude, and I want to get female perspectives on all kinds of things, and Bitcoin is no exception. So thank you for coming on, and I guess just – to start off with, just give our listeners just a sense of who you are, like where you're from, what you've done for work, what kind of family you come from, all that kind of stuff. Just to give us a background, where you live now, and then we'll get into all the Bitcoin stuff.
Absolutely. So again, I'm Dahlia Platt, and I have a, well, first of all, Bitcoin for me is not about just Bitcoin either. It's so much more. And the reason I began Bitcoin was, and we'll get to that in a little bit later, but because I wanted change in this world. And that being said, I grew up in Colombia at a time where there was a lot going on. It was the time of Pablo Escobar. It was a time of kidnappings and bombs. And so in that sense, I had a very traumatic upbringing. And also, the other thing in Colombia that is relevant to where I am and what I became is the fact that there was such this amount of inequality in Colombia, that there's like 0.1% of the people can do things, and then the rest absolutely they don't have any rights, they can't have education, they can't. And to me, that was always horrible. And I always felt there had to be something to do to change such that people would have the same fair ground.
Yeah.
What else can I tell you? My grandparents, they are all European. So I kind of feel Colombian, but don't feel Colombian, because I was brought up, my grandparents all came during the war. They were escaping the war in Europe, and they came without a language, and they came without any money, zero money.
Yeah.
And they brought, they did something amazing. They gave both families, education, and they gave them very good values, I think. So that's it. That's a little bit about me.
Yeah. And then what year did you first start to learn about Bitcoin? Like, what was the spark? How did that occur? Like, was it a person? Were you clicking on videos? Like, what was the initial kind of like, hey, what is this? How did that come about?
Well, I started investing in Bitcoin, which was not really investing, because I bought something at 9,000, then sold at 11, and thought I was like the most intelligent human being in the world. And then I realized what I had done. But the truth is, the day that it really, really sunk, I think, was in the Bitcoin conference in Miami in 2021. And Jack Mallers gave a presentation, I don't know if you were there, about how the Lightning Network is going to change the world. And his presentation was with Doritos and raisins. And that just made me realize that if money can travel this fast from person to person, anywhere, everywhere, it can make people's life in Colombia so much easier and so much like they're. The efficiency of absolutely everything will allow people to have more education, more jobs, more. If you don't live in a country like Colombia, it's very hard to understand the difficulty that people go through on their daily lives just because they were born poor. And it's just like a coin toss. And so I think that was it.
Yeah, it's funny that, Dahlia, like, to me, it's also like you're seeing it emerge in Africa, you know, and it's so needed in places where they just have not had anything, and they've had no way of getting out of having anything, right? And so here comes this technology. I kind of compare it. It's like it's playing both offense and defense, just to use a sports metaphor for a second. You're playing offense in that you're putting your life force into a store of value that gains value over time rather than loses value over time. But it's also, that's the playing defense part. You're basically saying, I'm going to store my value over here, but it's offense. In a way, just not to be too crass, but it's basically an FU to the globalists and their banking system that has sort of enslaved humanity, has created this vast inequality. So it's kind of like it's this 1-2 punch that it works both ways for citizens of both the developed world and second and third world nations that are trying to figure out how do we live our lives without, you know, our elites borrowing all this money from the IMF at these interest rates, right? It enslaves population the world over, and Bitcoin comes along as this like brand new thing that, and it's being attacked, you know, it's going to be attacked because it's so threatening. But I just wanted to touch on that a little bit. Like for me, we've never seen anything quite like this. And I don't think the globalists have ever seen anything quite like this, not to get all conspiratorial, but you touched on the haves and have nots. And a lot of that, from what I can see, the more I did a deep dive into what is money and what is fiat and, you know, what are these bankers doing exactly, the more I saw that it was the solution to about 20 problems that people have all over the world.
You're so right. And what you're saying is like spot on, that at the beginning, for example, I saw the Lightning and I saw Bitcoin as a medium of exchange. Yeah. And yes, that's amazing. And that can solve a million problems, not only in the developing countries, but in the developed countries. But then I kind of went into the rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. And what Bitcoin does is it just opens your mind. It opens your mind to learning so, like, every type of field, history and psychology and philosophy. And so then I understood the store of value, and I understood the importance of being able to hold your own money, to be mm-hmm. able to be sovereign, to be that to me is such a profound thing that it took me like 3 years, and I wrote a curriculum all about it. And I wasn't even convinced in the time that I was writing this curriculum. I really didn't understand Bitcoin, mm-hmm. But it really can change lives. And we live in a society where everybody's blind, like we're all blind. Yeah. And we just nod and say yes, and all is fine. And it's not.
Yeah, it's, I still feel like I know so little about it. And I've done, like, during COVID, I did like a deep dive. I probably watched and read like 100 hours worth of information around Bitcoin as I was learning about it. The price was coming down. I was blessed to kind of have the price coming way down as I was getting more confident that this was going to be a great store of value. But I still feel like there's so much that I don't understand about it. And I feel like we're really just seeing, I really honestly think the store of value is the tip of the iceberg. To your point, I feel like what Bitcoin brought to was this radical possibility that we could have decentralized, you name the field, decentralized mm-hmm. journalism, decentralized medicine, decentralized, you know, law and justice, you know, like it could really create systems that loosen this kind of control at the top that we've all kind of grew up in, no matter which country you're in, whether you're in a prosperous country or not, we've all grown up with this kind of control mechanism, this one node at the top, let's say. You know, everything that's getting created on protocols, whether it's Nostr or the Lightning Network, I just think there's going to be you and I live to be, you know, 100 years old, I think we'll look back and go, wow, we had no idea everything that was going to get created once Bitcoin got out of the gate and started to get traction. We had no idea that so many great pro-humanity systems were going to get created, that were going to replace stuff that's old and doesn't work for humanity and really works for the people that are closest to the money printer, both companies and elites, right? And here comes this way of redoing the paradigm in a way that's really grassroots and for us being humanity, no matter where you live on the planet, and give the finger to the elites that have that have benefited from our labor for a long time and stolen from us unlawfully, you know? And so I have a little bit of an FU, a little bit of a rebel, that I like seeing systems that are giving the finger to people and elites that have, exploited and benefited from it themselves without being honest about what they're doing.
Absolutely. Like, you touched on so many things that are so true. First, like you, I am just scratching the surface on Bitcoin, on its potential, on what it can do. For example, what you said, like Nostr, I don't know if people are aware of Nostr, like decentralized social media, that is humongous, like being able to be yourself. And now with AI, with all the types of deep fakes and everything, you're going to be able to prove that it's you that's saying something, that it's doing something. You're going to be able to know truth from fake. And that is huge. So I cannot tell you, like, every day I learn something else, and it's mind boggling. Like, right now I am very concerned, like, talking about, I'm also a little bit not a conspirator, but I am a rebel as well, like you.
Yeah.
And listening to what happened with the Samurai wallet owners, that they got arrested. And to arrest people because they develop open source code, that to me is extreme.
Yep.
That is absolutely like a tipping point.
Yeah.
So we have to, I have to continue fighting for this. And hopefully other people will start understanding the value, the importance.
Yeah, it's you mentioned deep fake. Of all the different things that I've, all the rabbit holes, that deep fake stuff, it's so unsettling, Dahlia, because you literally, I'm not really sure if I'm looking at the actual person. It doesn't matter if it's President Biden or President Trump or anybody or some celebrity. I think we've all had this experience of, you might be looking at somebody that has been a celebrity. Maybe it's a politician, maybe it's some sort of corporate leader or a Hollywood person or whatever. And you're looking at them, you're going, that doesn't quite look like them. Like, it literally, it's not plastic surgery. There's something about that. Like, the ears look different. Like, there's something about it. And I don't, I'm just like, we live in such a strange, surreal time when nearly everything that they put out in the media is either disinformation, misinformation, or downright lying to the people. Like, there's just no, people are like, they're lying about everything. I mean, even non-conspiratorial mainstream normies are basically saying, look, they lie about everything. And I've seen the deep fake videos, and it seems like they could fake everything. I mean, so it's a time, I think, of the best you can do is kind of get with yourself, get with God, however that looks like for you. Trust your own instincts, trust the goodness of human nature and your tribe. And don't buy into too much of the division and fear that they just want to pump at us. But man, it is a war right now. And that's not putting it, I'm not using that term metaphorically. It is a war for the minds of humanity right now. And it's just been odd. It's an odd time. Thank God for Bitcoin, because we need good news right now, because there's a lot of sense that, it's going to hell in a handbasket, and what is going to be the life raft for us. And I think you and I are touching on some of the things that would be. That's a long rant. I'm kind of ranting today. I usually am just asking questions.
I love your ranting. You're great at the way you think and the way you speak.
It's hard for you, because I'm ranting and I'm like giving you like five different things rather than just asking you one. So I'm sorry about that.
No problem. I'm not the best podcaster, so you can rant all you want.
Oh, it's good. The other thing I wanted to ask you too is do you follow the price? Like, does the price make you emotional at all? Because I'm in a bunch of Bitcoin forums, and there's just like almost like a bipolar thing. Like if the price goes way up, everybody's super excited. You know, I've got more net worth, you know, woohoo, go Bitcoin. It's going to go to 100 this month or whatever. There's all this optimism and people are so happy. And then if it crashes, if it drops like a stone, like it did after the halving, where it was just like gun coming down, some people are like, woohoo, cheap sats. But other people, you could see that they're just like, oh God, this sucks. You know, that's not what we thought. And it's just emotional roller coaster. And I don't know how you feel. I'm just starting to go, look, stop looking at price so much. It doesn't really matter, does it, if you believe in it? I mean, that's kind of where I'm landing. But I've been really emotional about it the whole way through.
No, I used to be absolute. Like, you have no idea. I was on that graph 24/7 at the beginning. And I did everything, like everything that a human being can do wrong, I've done wrong with Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So it went up, I bought. It went down, I sold. It went up, I bought. It was like it was just about the price. And I really didn't understand anything else. And as you start learning, as you start understanding the importance of this technology and how it can really, really change everybody's life, mm-hmm. You realize, you know what? The price really doesn't matter right now. It is for my kids, for my future generations. And I'm not, the only reason I look at the price is because I got my dad into a little bit of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So I know that it's high when he calls me, he disappears. If not, he's completely disappeared. So I know that something must be really wrong. So I check it because of him. But other than that, you know what? I trust that it is a technology that will solve so many issues, that will help inflationary countries, for people that will store their wealth in a different type of asset. It will help anything, remittances, transferring money from one place to the other. How important is that? I used to work in, the first job I had with Bitcoin was, I created the curriculum for Mi Primer Bitcoin, who's they're in El Salvador. They're an educational company in El Salvador. And when I first went to El Salvador and I saw how Bitcoin is changing lives of people, the people that are receiving remittances from family members here in the U.S. They don't have to pay those ridiculous fees that they used to, like 20% fee to send a $100 bill.
Yeah.
And it's so unfair. So I think I also rambled.
I can't wait to go to El Salvador. It's on our short list. I just so admire Bukele for everything he's done and being such a leader. And I think there's going to be, you might have more of a inside track on this, but, you know, there's been murmurings in, you know, like Max Kaiser has said, you know, there's going to be at least two more countries in Latin America that go the way that El Salvador has gone. And I was like, well, it seems like Argentina's kind of teed up because their new president is a Bitcoiner. I could see them going that way. But do you think there'll be other nations in that continent that will start to adopt it? Maybe not as their reserve currency yet, but as a legal tender, the way El Salvador does, where you'll see pockets of this kind of development. I can't wait to go down there and see, you know, because where I'm at, you know, people are just kind of hodling by themselves, or maybe there's meetups, but there's no merchants don't really take it here in Seattle. You don't see really a Bitcoin culture at all. And I'm really curious to go down to El Salvador and see what it's like for the people and the merchants and what the vibe is like. I know they're teaching it in schools to kids, and I'm like, wow, what a great, you know, chapter this is turning out to be for El Salvador.
100%. And yes, to answer your question, yes, I believe other countries are going to declare Bitcoin as legal tender in their mm-hmm. country. I don't know. Well, the first thing is that, for example, Honduras, mm-hmm. I don't know if you're aware of this, but they have an island called Prospera mm. that is they are their own jurisdiction within Honduras, and they live in the on the Bitcoin standard. So Honduras has already accepted that there's a location where they're going to live on Bitcoin, pay their taxes based on their economy. Everything is a completely circular economy, and it's growing. And as you say, Argentina as well. The only problem, not problem, the only thing that I see with certain governments in Latin America is that sometimes the president or the government wants to adopt Bitcoin, but for the wrong reasons. Because what they did, for example, what happened in El Salvador at the beginning is that it was all custodial. Absolutely everybody was given $30 in a wallet called El Chivo, and it was all controlled by the government. So there was millions of problems, and there was tax, and the people didn't trust the money because they went to take out their $30 in Bitcoin and it wasn't there. Somebody else had used their identity. But this is not because of Bitcoin, but because of the way Bitcoin is incorporated in a country. And I think that the only mistake of El Salvador was not to educate the people first and then make it legal tender.
That makes sense.
Because it's very different. Like, I've been there like two or three or four times already. And you see a huge change in the country, and people that are like the street vendors, they're accepting Bitcoin, and there's so much more tourism, so much more like assets, investments coming into the country. It's unbelievable. The prosperity there.
He's done a smart thing too. I see he's going to bring in 3,000 people that are developers, engineers, people to help the country, and he's going to give them passports, citizenship, and not tax them. Basically say, come to El Salvador and help us make the nation great. We need educators. We need all these different people to help run projects. I just think the way he's going about it is really inspiring. It shows that a visionary like that can really have, and he seems to, you know, I don't know him personally, but I've heard him speak a few times at conferences, and he seems to really have his people's benefit, his people's interests in mind, not his own self-interest, which is easy to do when you're the top dog of a small country. You can be like, well, let me make sure I've got mine, and then maybe I can speak like a populist leader, and then really over here I'm taking side deals from the IMF and stuff like that. But he seems like he has integrity, and he is genuinely excited about what Bitcoin can offer his people. Are you getting any murmurs from Colombia, since you're from Colombia? Is there any kind of Bitcoin culture emerging there at all?
Well, we have a very socialist president right now. He's actually ex-militia. Okay. So it's a very complicated situation in Colombia, but he is very pro-Bitcoin. And he wants to, not Bitcoin itself, but blockchain technology. Okay. He wants to incorporate it into healthcare. The thing is that blockchain is so beneficial. Like you said, it's going to change so many things, but there has to be something backing. And just making sure that technology is not being changed by somebody or suddenly somebody decides to, I don't know, shut the light on it. I don't even know how to say that.
Right, right.
But that's where Bitcoin is, like the decentralization, the difference between Bitcoin and everything else. That's where it's so important. But the technology itself can help countries like Colombia. And he has talked about it. We'll see. We'll see what he says and what he does are very different things.
True.
But also, like, I'm going back to El Salvador. We were saying that Bukele has done wonderful things. And one of the things that he did, which really is not Bitcoin related, but is now going to be, people are going to be affected with Bitcoin, is that he cleaned up all the streets with the gang members. He took everybody that was in gangs and murdering. And the situation to me is horrible in the jails, in what's happening in the jails. And there's some people that are really, that should not be there, that are there. But on the other hand, he's taking everybody that was in those gangs and he's giving them opportunities. Mm-hmm. He's teaching them. He's having them have jobs. And some of the jobs are for Bitcoin, mm-hmm. For new Bitcoin companies, for Bitcoin mining, for Bitcoin education. There's a lot of desire to help people improve, which to me is so inspiring. So yeah, hopefully other countries will follow El Salvador.
Do you think sometimes being an early adopter of this technology, and I have not been an early adopter of technology. You know, I'm 57 years old. You know, I wouldn't say I'm a late adopter to, you know, computers and phones and stuff. I was probably in the middle of the bell curve. You know, like my brother is much more of an early adopter, although he's still not a Bitcoiner. But so, you know, I was just a normal Bitcoin is really the first time I've been early on a technology. And I think I naively thought once I got into it and got excited about it, then the stampede would come. Like I was only maybe 6 months or a year ahead of everybody else, right? There was a sense of I foolishly thought there would be, you know, as soon as El Salvador declared Bitcoin as legal tender, there was going to be 20 other nations. Once MicroStrategy, Tesla, Square held Bitcoin on their balance sheet and it looked like a brilliant move, then there was going to be 100 other companies, Apple or, you know, we're going to start to hold 5-10% of their treasury. Like all that was just going to happen really, really fast. And it hasn't. And it's like we've had, you know, the ETFs have come, the halving has come now. And you and I talked about the price, you know, being a little more detached from the price and having a long-term, you know, low time preference, let's say, where we're just being patient and just holding it. But could we be in a gradually then suddenly situation where, you know, it just seems like it's drip, drip, dripping and nobody's really super interested in it. We just keep talking amongst ourselves, us Bitcoiners and on Nostr and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden we wake up, you know, 2, 3, 5 years from now, and it's just gone gangbusters. You know, I'm starting to say the things that I was anticipating, I might be years or even a decade or more in the future. And I think I just thought it's going to happen so fast once people know, but it's happening really slow from my perspective. I don't know about you.
No, you're right. And I think that one of the reasons it's happening slow is that Bitcoin is such a complicated technology, such a complicated concept to understand.
Yeah.
And when you and I got in, which I was not an early adopter either, I was around there, then you tried to look at a video, everything. I felt horrible. Like I'm an engineer. I thought I was semi-smart. And mm-hmm. then comes Bitcoin and I felt like the most idiotic human being in the world mm-hmm. Because I could not get, I really did not get it. And I think that's where there's a humongous barrier, like the education, like teaching, like really getting people, not feeding them things, but helping them open their minds to the possibilities, to what can be done with Bitcoin, how empowered they can become themselves with Bitcoin. And therefore education has to be better. Education has to be geared toward how can it help the individual? How can it help everybody around the world? And that's when I was in El Salvador that I told you that I did the curriculum for my first Bitcoin, for mi primer Bitcoin. I made a huge mistake. I focused on the technology. I did not focus on the whys and the hows and the when and the, and so I think like me, a lot of people, when they try to get into Bitcoin, they just give up because it's hard. And what we have to do is make it relatable, make it relatable to the fiat system, explain the differences, the benefits, the like how it can solve every single problem that the world has right now, talking about wars. So yes, I also was very, very positive at the beginning when I started understanding. I'm like, no, everybody's going to adopt this. But like you, I was also disappointed. But it doesn't really matter. Like, I think it's important that it's growing slowly, because if it grew too fast, we might make mistakes. Like, there could be hard forks that, I don't know, there can be a lot of mistakes that can be done, like with other coins. But here, everybody has a say in the Bitcoin network. Everybody can participate. And when people start understanding that they can do that instead of having their money in the bank, maybe sequestered, or maybe being able to take only $1,000 out of your ATM every day because the bank says so. When people start realizing the benefits, it will be gradually, then suddenly. And like you, I think the suddenly is not yet, maybe in 4, 10 years, 4, 8 years. And the price is going to take, like, the people that started, for example, contacted me at the beginning of this bull market, they already disappeared because they see the price dropped and they're like, no way am I learning about this. Am I doing this? So price is very important to most people. And that's the reality. And it's going to continue being very volatile. It's going to be very manipulated until more and more people join the network.
And that's right.
Just the reality.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I think you're right. I think the store of value has to be the conversation that you have with people first. You can't have a what is money, you know, deconstructing fiat and the Federal Reserve. That's nerding out later. The technology's, you know, for nerding out later. I think if people understand that it's a superior store of value for them and their family and multi-generational, with a fixed cap of 21 million, and it's only going to be worth more. It's going to be volatile, but it's going to be worth more year in and year out and decade upon decade, where fiat is unlimited supply and it just is worth less and less and less over time. And that's the real reason why things cost so much money, is because the dollar is crap. They just keep printing it and it just keeps debasing the thing. And then here's this technology where you can store and it's going to increase over time. That's not a hard concept to understand. It takes a little bit to understand it, but you don't really have to go down the rabbit hole. And I think there's a lot of people that are going to be looking towards, especially if this inflation, you're starting to see it in more and more nations. United States, we've got it real bad. They're trying to pretend like they've got it tamed, but people see it differently. I think people understand that they're starting to figure out that the more they print, then the less their money's worth. And that includes all of their fiat money, whether they're holding it here or there. When you first get people interested, let's say they have a conversation with you and you talk about the store of value and their ears perk up and they're like, huh, yes, that's great. Where do you point them to get more? Like, okay, I'm a friend in Florida or Colombia, and I've listened to a few podcasts, and now I'm like, wait a minute, I want to find out more. I want to do it at my own leisure, whether that's video or book or website. Where do you point people when they're first interested, and let's say the store of value conversation caught their attention, but they need a little more before they're going to start buying sats?
Okay, so let me answer your question by going back 1 second, because what I've realized in these past, like being an educator, I used to teach math for many years, and all I wanted is for people to get things to make math easier, for people not to be frustrated with math.
Yeah.
And what I realize with Bitcoin is that you have to listen to what people want to learn, because Bitcoin is so much, like you're talking about inflationary pressures. So you speak to somebody about the inflation and really explain to them like consequences of printing money with examples with their own jurisdiction, if they're interested in that. But some other people, like, for example, the people in the streets in El Salvador, they were interested in remittances. They wanted to hear about how it's amazing that you can send in a millisecond money to somebody else without going through an intermediary. So first, my first point is that I would listen to what they want to hear, because not everybody even understands what a store of value is. And then, oh my God, there's so many resources. The first thing is for the Looking Glass, what Seb and Daz from Looking Glass, the course for introductory course about the economy is an unbelievable course that just opens your mind, like starts you down that rabbit hole, explains everything very simply, it just makes sense to the everyday person.
Yeah.
So that's one resource that I love, because they're both amazing writers. But there's, oh my God, there's so many. I'm constantly on YouTube. There's so many people that are, like Michael Saylor is an amazing spokesperson. His series, Antonopoulos, I think he explains things. He like chews them down and explains it in such an amazing way. Just the Bitcoin Standard, I wouldn't flood people with resources is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I would just answer one question at a time and only answer if they continue to question.
Yeah.
If not, you lost them already. So
that's great. That's really great coaching. And also your resources are top notch, like Looking Glass Education. That's a great spot to start. Saylor, anything with Saylor talking about it is super inspiring. He's such a visionary. I'd say like the book, The Bitcoin Standard, that's for, you're starting to nerd out a bit there, but it's really great, but you can get it. I think the thing you're pointing to is it's easy to overwhelm people. And for me, I got The Bitcoin Standard, but I'd already been clicking on, you know, dozens of videos and listened to Saylor and Breedlove and Antonopoulos. So I was ready to like dig into something like The Bitcoin Standard. You know, my mind was prepped for it. So I think that's a brilliant approach, Dahlia. Like just a little goes a long ways. Just drip, drip, keep encouraging their interest in it, because, you know, it's a futurist technology that's here. It's, to me, it's super exciting. You know, I didn't really participate in the dot-com boom. I was, I wasn't a technologist. So I was just kind of like, oh, we've got this thing called the internet and there's these things called websites now. You know, I wasn't early in the excitement. I was just kind of like, oh yeah, I guess that stuff's pretty cool. Look, I can click over here and I see the, you know, this kind of store that's got stuff. But this one is different in that, you know, I am early and so are you. And, you know, we're just kind of slow playing it. It's in the early innings, to use a baseball metaphor, of Bitcoin. And I, for one, am super excited. I'm in it long term, and just super grateful that I've discovered it, that I've discovered a community of people that feel the same way. But I just wanted to ask you too, just to finish with, is there anything else that you got going on that you'd like our listeners to know about? You mentioned Looking Glass. Where do people find that? And where do people find you? Any other work or projects that you would like our listeners to know about?
So yes, Looking Glass Education is an amazing resource. But again, like you said, there's Breedlove, there's so many others. And right now you cannot understand how zero of a salesperson I am, but I am working with a company that I absolutely love what they're offering. And I don't think they're offering, and I won't sell it. And it's just to teach people how to take Bitcoin off exchanges and self-custody their Bitcoin and the importance of that. And then we would get into something called collaborative custody, and we don't have to get into that, but it's the Bitcoin Advisor, and they have such amazing content because it's a global enterprise. Like, we're advisors from all over the world. Mm-hmm. So we get to understand what's happening in every jurisdiction. We just open our eyes to, for example, I don't think that people even understand the consequences of a central bank digital currency.
Right.
So even if you just start like looking into things like that, I believe that it'll start you on a journey of discovery. So the Bitcoin Advisor to me, which is just thebitcoinadvisor.com, yeah, is an unbelievable resource for people that don't have or that do have Bitcoin, but don't make the mistake that I made, because I have been, like I said, I've made every mistake. And I had money in a custodial wallet and it got frozen. Yeah. And I am not a money launderer. And I worked very hard and it shouldn't have happened. It was because of lack of knowledge. So yeah, before getting into Bitcoin, just learn a little. Like, do what you did, not what I did. I did it backwards. I started with the Bitcoin standard and I was frustrated. So just go your route instead of mine.
And that Bitcoin Advisor, that's a great service, because that's a lot of times where people get stuck. I've coached some people. It's a great business to help people self-custody. That is, I think that's a life skill and will be taught as a life skill in the future. So that's really fantastic. And collaborative custody, even better. I think people will start to really rely on that once they discover what that is. That's a super exciting thing that you're a part of as well. Dahlia, thanks so much for coming on Basecamp for Men and sharing your insight and wisdom. So great to chat with you. Come back anytime. Good luck with all the stuff you're working on, and maybe let's have another conversation sometime when Bitcoin is at a different price. It's going to be volatile, but I think it's up, and I, for one, am in it for the long haul. I'm not in this for any kind of short-term gains. I am in it for humanity's benefit, and I feel like this is one of those things that you don't see come around very often that can really help the people of this planet level the playing field and have sovereignty and freedom. So thanks for coming on and sharing your vision and your insights. Really appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much, Tony. Thank you for your words and the way you talk, and you're very inspiring as well. So thank you for this conversation. And only for the people that do see it as only the price, all I say is just zoom out and look at the history of Bitcoin and compare. If they're really just in for the money, it's fine. They can start there. They'll go through the rabbit hole at their own pace. But compare it to any other asset, the growth of any other asset. And that way you don't have to look at the day-to-day. You don't have to like have a stomachache every day.
Right, so, right. Yeah, beautifully said. Thank you, Dahlia.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Well, I hope you enjoyed our time with Dahlia as much as I did. If you're looking for help taking your Bitcoin off the exchanges to put it in self-custody or collaborative custody, go check out the Bitcoin Advisors and get some help from them. They're offering a great service to the plebs to help you secure you and your family's future. And if you want to hear OG Lawrence Leopard's talk, the one I mentioned about sound money and the value of Bitcoin, you can go to the Bitcoin Matrix podcast and click on episode 191. It came out March 31st, and enjoy that great conversation. I always learn a lot listening to Larry. Thank you, Base Campers, and we'll see you around the fire next week. If you find value in our show and wish to show us some love, we are now making that very easy to do. You simply go to www.basecampformen.com and click on Donate Support Basecamp. You'll find an easy way to make either monthly donations for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate just once. We love the monthly donation and hope to build this up over the coming months, but any show of support is greatly appreciated, honestly. Thank you for your support and for helping to keep Basecamp as a resource on your hero's journey. That's our show for today. Thank you for listening. Men, good luck in all your endeavors, and good luck on your hero's journey. This is Tony Rezac, and you're listening to Basecamp for Men.